Chapter 35. Speech. The members of the majority went out by detachments from time to time and took naps upon sofas in the reception rooms, and also refreshed themselves with food and drink in quantities nearly unbelievable, but the minority stayed loyally by their champion. Some distinguished deputies of the majority stayed by him too, compelled thereto by admiration of his great performance. When a man has been speaking 8 hours, is it conceivable that he can still be interesting, still fascinating? When Dr. Letcher had been speaking 8 hours, he was still compactly surrounded by friends who would not leave him, and by foes of all parties who could not, and all hung enchanted and wondering upon his words, and all testified their admiration with constant and cordial outbursts of applause. Surely this was a triumph without precedent in history. During the 12-hour effort, friends brought to the orator 3 glasses of wine, 4 cups of coffee, and 1 glass of beer, a most stingy redash enforcement of his wasting tissues, but the hostile chair would permit no addition to it. But, no matter, the chair could not beat that man. He was a garrison holding a fort, and was not to be starved out. When he had been speaking 8 hours, his pulse was 72. When he had spoken 12, it was 100. He finished his long speech in these terms, as nearly as a permissibly free translation can convey them. I will now hasten to close my examination of the subject. I conceive that we of the left have made it clear to the honorable gentlemen of the other side of the house that we are stirred by no intemperate enthusiasm for this measure in its present shape. What we require, and shall fight for with all lawful weapons, is a formal, comprehensive, and definitive solution and settlement of these vexed matters. We desire the restoration of the earlier condition of things, the cancellation of all this incapable government's pernicious trades with Hungary, and then release from the sorry burden of the Badenai ministry. I voice the hope, I know not if it will be fulfilled, I voice the deep and sincere and patriotic hope, that the committee into whose hands this bill will eventually be committed will take its stand upon high ground, and will return the Ausgleich Provisorium to this house in a form which shall make it the protector and promoter alike of the great interests involved, and of the honor of our fatherland. After a pause, turning towards the government benches. But in any case, gentlemen of the majority, make sure of this. Henceforth, as before, you find us at our post. The Germans of Austria will neither surrender nor die. Then burst a storm of applause which rose and fell, burst out again and again and again, explosion after explosion, hurricane after hurricane, with no apparent promise of ever coming to an end. And meantime the whole left was surging and weltering about the champion, all bent upon wringing his hand, and congratulating him and glorifying him. Finally he got away, and went home, and ate 5 loaves and 12 baskets of fish, read the morning papers, slept 3 hours, took a short drive, then returned to the house, and sat out the rest of the 33-hour session. To merely stand up in one spot 12 hours on a stretch is a feat which very few men could achieve. To add to the task the utterance of 100,000 words would be beyond the possibilities of the most of those few. To superimpose the requirement that the words should be put into the form of a compact, coherent, and symmetrical oration would probably rule out the rest of the few, bar Dr. Letcher. 3. Curious parliamentary etiquette. In consequence of Dr. Letcher's 12-hour speech, and the other obstructions furnished by the minority, the famous 33-hour sitting of the House accomplished nothing. The government side had made a supreme effort, assisting itself with all the helps at hand, both lawful and unlawful, yet it failed to get the Ausgleich into the hands of a committee. This was a severe defeat. The right was mortified, the left jubilant. Parliament was adjourned for a week to let the members cool off, perhaps a sacrifice of precious time, for but 2 months remained in which to carry the all-important Ausgleich to a consummation. If I have reported the behavior of the house intelligibly, the reader has been surprised by it, and has wondered whence these lawmakers come, and what they are made of. And he has probably supposed that the conduct exhibited at the long sitting was far out of the common, and due to special excitement and irritation. As to the makeup of the house, it is this. The deputies come from all the walks of life, and from all the grades of society. There are princes, counts, barons, priests, peasants, mechanics, laborers, lawyers, judges, physicians, professors, merchants, bankers, shopkeepers. They are religious men, they are earnest, sincere, devoted, and they hate the Jews. The title of doctor is so common in the house that one may almost say that the deputy who does not bear it is by that reason conspicuous. I am assured that it is not a self-granted title, and not an honorary one, but an earned one, that in Austria it is very seldom conferred as a mere compliment. That in Austria the degrees of Doctor of Music, Doctor of Philosophy, and so on, are not conferred by the seats of learning. And so, when an Austrian is called Doctor, it means that he is either a lawyer or a physician, and that he is not a self-educated man, but is college-bred, and has been diplomat for merit. That answers the question of the constitution of the house. Now as to the house's curious manners. The manners exhibited by this convention of doctors were not at that time being tried as a wholly new experiment. I will go back to a previous sitting in order to show that the deputies had already had some practice. There had been an incident. The dignity of the house had been wounded by improprieties indulged in its presence by a couple of the members. This matter was placed in the hands of a committee to determine where the guilt lay, and the degree of it, and also to suggest the punishment. The chairman of the committee brought in his report. By this it appeared that in the course of a speech, Deputy Schrammel said that religion had no proper place in the public schools, it was a private matter. Whereupon Deputy Gregorik shouted, "How about free love?" To this, Deputy Iro flung out this retort. Soda water at the Wimberger. This appeared to deeply offend Deputy Gregorig, who shouted back at Iro, "You cowardly blatherskite, say that again." The committee had sat 3 hours. Gregorig had apologized. Iro explained that he didn't say anything about soda water at the Wimberger. He explained in writing, and was very explicit. "I declare upon my word of honor that I did not say the words attributed to me." Unhappily for his word of honor, it was proved by the official stenographers, and by the testimony of several deputies, that he did say them. The committee did not officially know why the apparently inconsequential reference to soda water at the Wimberger should move Deputy Gregorig to call the utterer of it a cowardly blatherskite. Still, after proper deliberation, it was of the opinion that the House ought to formally censure the whole business. This verdict seems to have been regarded as sharply severe. I think so, because Deputy Dr. Luiger, Burgermeister of Vienna, felt it a duty to soften the blow to his friend Gregorik by showing that the soda water remark was not so innocuous as it might look. That, indeed, Gregorik's tough retort was justifiable, and he proceeded to explain why. He read a number of scandalous postcards which he intimated had proceeded from Iro, as indicated by the handwriting, though they were anonymous. Some of them were posted to Gregorik at his place of business, and could have been read by all his subordinates. The others were posted to Gregorik's wife. Luiger did not say, but everybody knew that the cards referred to a matter of town gossip which made Mr. Gregorik a chief actor in a tavern scene, where siphon squirting played a prominent and humorous part, and wherein women had a share. There were several of the cards, more than several, in fact, no fewer than 5 were sent in one day. Dr. Luiger read some of them, and described others. Some of them had pictures on them, when a picture of a hog with a monstrous snout, and beside it a squirting soda siphon. Below it some sarcastic doggerel. Gregory dealt in shirts, cravats, etc. One of the carts bore these words. Much respected deputy and collar sewer or stealer. Apostrophe apostrophe another. Hurrah for the Christian social work among the women - assemblages. Hurrah for the soda squirter. Apostrophe comment by Dr. Luger. I cannot venture to read the rest of that one, nor the signature either. Apostrophe apostrophe another. Would you mind telling me if? Comment by Dr. Luger. The rest of it is not properly readable. Apostrophe apostrophe to Deputy Gregorig's wife. Much respected Madam Gregorig, the undersigned desires an invitation to the next soda squirt. Apostrophe apostrophe comment by Dr. Luger. Neither the rest of the card, nor the signature can I venture to read to the house, so vulgar are they. Apostrophe apostrophe the purpose of this card to expose Gregorig to his family was repeated in others of these anonymous missives. The house, by vote, censured the two improper deputies. This may have had a modifying effect upon the phraseology of the membership for a while, and upon its general exuberance also, but it was not for long. As has been seen, it had become lively once more on the night of the long sitting. At the next sitting after the long one there was certainly no lack of liveliness. The president was persistently ignoring the rules of the House in the interest of the government side, and the minority were in an unappeasable fury about it. The ceaseless din and uproar, the shouting and stamping and desk banging, were deafening, but through it all burst voices now, and then that made themselves heard. Some of the remarks were of a very candid sort, and I believe that, if they had been uttered in our House of Representatives, they would have attracted attention. I will insert some samples here. Not in their order, but selected on their merits. Mr. Meritor, to the President, you have lied. You conceded the floor to me, make it good, or you have lied. Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Glockner, to the President, leave. Get out. Apostrophe, Wolf, indicating the president. There sits a man to whom a certain title belongs. Apostrophe, apostrophe, unto Wolf, who is continuously reading, in a powerful voice, from a newspaper, arrive these personal remarks from the majority. Oh, shut your mouth. Apostrophe, apostrophe, put him out. Apostrophe, out with him. Wolf stops reading a moment, to shout at Dr. Luger, who has the floor, but cannot get a hearing, please, betrayer of the people, begin. Apostrophe apostrophe, Dr. Luger, main errand, apostrophe, oh oh. Apostrophe apostrophe and groans. Wolf. That's the holy light of the Christian socialists. Apostrophe, Mr. Klitzenberg, Christian socialist, damnation. Are you ever going to quiet down? Apostrophe apostrophe, Wolf discharges a galling remark at Mr. Wollmeyer. Wollmeyer responding, you Jew, you. Apostrophe, there is a moment's lull, and Dr. Luger begins his speech. Graceful, handsome man, with winning manners and attractive bearing, a bright and easy speaker, and is said to know how to trim his political sails, to catch any favoring wind that blows. He manages to say a few words, then the tempest overwhelms him again. Wolf stops reading his paper a moment, to say a drastic thing about Luger and his Christian social pieties, which sets the C.S.S. in a sort of frenzy. Mr. Vilolaik. You leave the Christian socialists alone, you word of - honor breaker. Obstruct all you want to, but you leave them alone. You've no business in this house. You belong in a gin mill. Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Prochaska. In a lunatic asylum, you mean. Apostrophe, Vilolaik. It's a pity that such man should be leader of the Germans. He disgraces the German name. Apostrophe apostrophe, Dr. Schiecher. It's a shame that the like of him should insult us. Apostrophe, Strobach, to Wolf. Contemptible cub, we will bounce thee out of this. Apostrophe apostrophe It is inferable that the E is not intended to indicate affection this time, but to reinforce and emphasize Mr. Storbach's scorn.
Dr. Sheecher. His insults are of no consequence. He wants his ears boxed.
Apostrophe apostrophe Dr. Luger to Wolf. You'd better worry a trifle over your Iro's word of honor. You are behaving like a street Arab.
Apostrophe Dr. Sheecher. It is infamous.
Apostrophe Dr. Luger. And these shameless creatures are the leaders of the German People's Party.
Apostrophe apostrophe Meantime Wolf goes whooping along with his newspaper readings in great contentment.
Dr. Patai. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
You haven't the floor.
Apostrophe Strobach. The miserable cub.
Apostrophe Dr. Luger to Wolf.
Raising his voice strenuously above the storm.
You are a wholly honorless street rat.
Apostrophe apostrophe
A voice. Fire the rapscallion out. Apostrophe apostrophe But Wolf's soul goes marching noisily on, just the same.
Schonerer,
vast and muscular, and endowed with the most powerful voice in the Reichsrat, comes plowing down through the standing crowds, red, and choking with anger, halts before Deputy Wohlmeier, grabs a rule, and smashes it with a blow upon a desk, threatens Wohlmeier's face with his fist, and bellows out some personalities, and a promise.
Only you wait, we'll teach you.
Apostrophe apostrophe
A whirlwind of offensive retorts assails him from the band of meek and humble Christian socialists compacted around their leader, that distinguished religious expert, Dr. Luger, Burgermeister of Vienna. Our breath comes in excited gasps now, and we are full of hope. We imagine that we are back 50 years ago in the Arkansas legislature, and we think we know what is going to happen, and are glad we came, and glad we are up in the gallery, out of the way, where we can see the whole thing, and yet not have to supply any of the material for the inkist. However, as it turns out, our confidence is abused, our hopes are misplaced.
Dr. Patai,
wildly excited.
You quiet down, or we shall turn ourselves loose. There will be cuffing of ears.
Apostrophe, Prochaska in a fury.
No, not ear boxing, but genuine blows.
Apostrophe, Vyhalik. I would rather take my hat off to a Jew than to Wolf.
Apostrophe, Strobach to Wolf.
Jew flunky. Here we have been fighting the Jews for 10 years, and now you are helping them to power again. How much do you get for it?
Apostrophe apostrophe Polanski. What he wants is a straight jacket.
Apostrophe Wolf continues his reading. It is a market report now.
Remark flung across the house to Schonerer.
Die Grossmutter auf dem Mist auf den Erzig Worden.
Apostrophe apostrophe It will be judicious not to translate that. Its flavor is pretty high, in any case, but it becomes particularly gamey when you remember that the first gallery was well stocked with ladies. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.